Oh, snap! Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
Oh, snap. Hello, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the top dog at Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business. So what's the business of order today here at the Raw Dog Food Truth? Well, today we are going to be talking about the raw diet for puppies, how much to feed them, and why big breeds need to break the rules. We're going to talk about all of that in a second. And my guest, Carmen Goudreau, will be joining us. But, you know, we always start our show with testimonials. That's right. From Gina Ward, she said, I've been feeding my pack prey model raw for years, and I was so excited when I found RDF & Co., that'd be me, Raw Dog Food & Company, the balanced and complete blends and protein choices from sources you can trust just make my life so much easier, and my dogs happy. They look better than they ever have, and I don't have to worry about where I'll find random raw source to keep my freezer full. Then she says, great people too. Well, thank you, Gina. Me and Rick do appreciate that so much. And from Neely, she says, excellent products, great customer service. They have several specialized and balanced blends, as well as individual and hard to find products that you can incorporate into your home prepared diets. Everything is as natural as possible and will provide your dogs with the diet he or she was really designed to thrive on. I have 6 corgis aged 1 to 14 who wholeheartedly agree. Well, thank you, Miss Neely. We agree. Your corgis look amazing. Hey, listen, I tell you what else is amazing. You know what else is amazing? We are growing. We are growing by leaps and bounds here at Raw Dog Food and Company. So we want to make sure that you get to our website as soon as possible and see where there is a delivery drop-off near you. Those are coming to you very soon here in the Colorado, I used to say Colorado area. But go to our website, rawdogfoodandco.com. rawdogfoodandco.com. All right, well, listen, let's get on with it, shall we? We're going to talk about how much you want to feed those little cute, sweet, adorable puppies and why big breeds need to break all the rules, Well, the first thing that we're going to talk about here is how you transition these little sweet, adorable balls of fur, okay? Now, here's, you know, we have a lot of breeders out there, and they transition their pups right away, okay? They absolutely start off going cold turkey. And, you know, we've said this time and time and time again, but it is not a good thing to mix raw food with kibble, and you certainly don't want to do that with puppies because kibble requires a different pH in the gut to digest. And it will make your puppy more susceptible to the bacteria in the raw meats, okay? So don't ever mix our raw with your kibble. Actually, we'd just like for you to throw your kibble in the trash. You know what? I have to laugh. People are always saying to me, I've got this high-quality kibble. And I want to say, well, what does that really mean, that you're paying a lot of money for stuff that is dead? You've heard me say this before. I know. You're saying, Dee Dee, you're repeating yourself. That's what happens when you get to be my age. But let's not confuse paying a lot of dollars with a high-quality kibble. If your kibble is single source, turn it over, look at your ingredients, okay? If it's single source, then maybe it's a higher quality. But if it's got a bunch of crap in there you can't pronounce, not so high, and you're just wasting your money, all right? Okie doke. All right, so here's the next thing. We want to start off these little puppies, these little adorable bundles of fur, with one protein source, Okay, you can just start them off with one protein source as we are getting them on the raw diet, okay? So it doesn't matter whether that is going to be chicken or turkey. Let's let them get adjusted for, you know, a good week. And if there's no signs of digestive upset, that is, are they not pooping all over the place? Like the sunny runnies. We want to start your puppy on a second source of protein and so on, okay? So you can do that. You can do that. We've got so many different proteins to pick from. We've got chicken. We've got turkey. We've got beef. We've got duck. We've got rabbit. We've got a lamb. I mean, we've got a ton of stuff. And let me say this about picky eaters. Oh, my gosh. Now, we don't have that many picky eaters, but we do have a few. And here's what I would say about picky eaters. Number one, if your dog has been on kibble for a long time, well, it may be tough for them to switch over to the raw. They may be doing little standoffs. You know, they're like, look, I want my crack and I want it now. And I get it, you know, because sometimes I do this little standoff with cupcakes and stuff like that. I got to tell you, I'm working on a really healthy diet right now. I was looking at those videos that I put out on the raw diet, and I said, whoa, she is a little bit overfed there. A little overfed. Somebody's been over-serving me. So I got to pull back on the carbs, just like a dog. You want to pull back on the carbs. All right? But here's the thing. If you've got a picky eater, there's a lot of things we can try, okay? Don't confuse all their meals with just throwing everything but the trash can at them, right? Don't confuse all these different treats and different oils and all this different stuff. Let's just try to go simple. Let's go, you know, one blend, next blend, next blend, next blend. Also on the picky eaters, you may need to warm the food up so that all the smells come out. If that helps. Another thing that we've done, which has been very successful, and I will tell you, is that when we've started dogs out on the raw diet that are picky eaters or refuse to eat, here's a trick. Change the bowl. Change the bowl, change the spot that you feed the dog. Okay? The bowl, change the spot. Feed them in a different spot so that they don't associate their kibble crack with the raw and they don't do the standoff on you. Okay? That's one thing to try. All right, so let's get back to these pups, shall we? I don't know where Carmen is. Carmen has a lot of dogs that she takes care of. Hopefully one hasn't run down the street that she's had to run after. So we'll get her on as soon as we do because she is a large breed kind of gal. She's been raised in Bouviers, and we want to talk to her because she has some very strong opinions about how to feed these puppies, okay? All right. Here's also another tip on feeding puppies. Feed them 3 to 4 times a day. Aw, gosh, that's a lot of work. Yeah, you should have thought about that before you got a puppy, right? You got to think about what kind of breed you're getting. You know, you got to feed them. You got to have the money to feed them. You got to have the patience to feed them. You know, why do you get a dog if you just stick him in the backyard? Never to talk to him, never to love him, never to kiss his little sweet, as some people would say, bacteria-laden mouth again. Put them in the house. All right, you want to feed these puppies at least 3 to 4 times a day, okay? You want to do that until he's about 6 months of age. Then he can eat twice a day and eventually once a day if that's what you wish. But, you know, we typically say, hey, even in the real world, feed twice a day. We feed Asta, our sweet German Shepherd, in the morning and in the night. And by the way, we don't leave Asta on a schedule. Some people are really, really funny about, you know, the schedule of their dogs where it's like, okay, well, my dog's got to eat at 5 o'clock, so I got to get home right now. No, 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 no. Putting all the control dogs pause. Not sure you want to do that. You know, what we do is she knows she's going to eat, but she doesn't beg. That's the thing. I mean, when we don't have her on a super-duper, you know, strict schedule, she doesn't start that running around and whining and all that kind of stuff that happens with dogs. All right? So, let's feed these puppies 3 to 4 times a day, and don't overdo it with the offal, okay? Oh, no, my cat's in the house. Here comes Sheba. Sheba the cat's going to come down and talk to me while I'm on the air. She's 20 years old, by the way. So, really, when you get that old, you should be able to do whatever you want to do. But don't overdo it with the offal. You know what offal is? It's liver and other organ meats, okay, with these puppies. Let's not overdo that. Let's make sure that we have a good balance. And in our blend, it is a very good balance, 10% organ, okay? So we can get those blends. Sorry, I just got all sorts of kind of crap going on here in my house right now while I'm trying to do my show. I got the cat meowing. I got the phone ringing. So just bear with me. Anyway, let's not overdo it on the liver and organs and the offal for our pups. Let's keep it a good blend. And you can do that with our prey model blends right there at Raw Dog Food and Company. Because you know what happens? Here's what happens. If you give them too much food, they're going to have the runs. All right? So we need to make sure that they don't get the runs. So let's be very, very, very careful with that. But we don't want to skip the organ meats. I mean, they are important because they are full of nutrients not found in the muscle meat, okay? Now, you know what the muscle meat is? That's your meat. So do you guys know that the heart is considered a muscle meat, so you can definitely, definitely give them heart. We do have beef hearts, and a lot of people really do love the beef hearts. You get them in, you know, big, 1 pound to 7 pounds, we get these beef hearts. But don't skip the organ meats because they are important. But let's go lightly on the offal, lightly on the offal. All right. So here's the question about feeding your puppy. And I don't know where Miss Carmen is. She was going to come into the show today. I'm not sure what's happening, why she may not be able to get into the show. And I really wanted to get her on how to feed the big breeds because there's been some controversy. And I'll tell you what the controversy has been or what has been happening. But there's a lot of information out there. If you look at how to feed your pups on a raw diet, much of it will say feed 2 to 3% of the puppy's adult body weight. Okay. Now, this is easier to determine if you have a purebred dog where you can figure out, okay, look, our German we know is going to be anywhere, our breed of German is going to probably be anywhere around 75 to 80 pounds. But that's not always easy to determine. And a lot of times you don't know how big your dog is going to be. All right. If it's a purebred dog, it's probably easier. But most of the information out there will say feed 2 to 3% of the dog's adult body weight or 10% of their current weight. Now, we have some controversy over the big breeds and why the big breeds need to do something different. Big breeds, and we're talking about your Great Danes. We're talking about your Bouviers. We're talking about, Briards. There's a lot of large breeds out there, okay? So here's the thing. Percentages are always starting points, and everyone needs to fluctuate or change up the amounts they're feeding their dogs if it's not working, okay? So here's one of the things that was happening. We did have a Great Dane puppy in our group. And in all honesty, our client was doing exactly what she was reading, 10% or 2% of the dog's adult body weight. But here's what was happening. The Great Dane puppy was having
runny poop, okay, and just could not get the stools right. And so we started really looking at what was going on, and it was just too much food. It was just way too much food with that population for that breed, and it is a great. And one of the things, and I wish Carmen was here so we could talk about it, but we'll have to talk about it at another time. The Danes, number one, have touchy digestive tracts, okay? But the other thing about your large breeds is that you want them to grow at a slower rate. We want to grow at a slower rate so that it doesn't tax their joints. And so everything lines up correctly as they grow. So as Carmen and I were talking and doing some research, and we were talking with many different breeders out there, the safest thing to do on these large breeds is to weigh them and feed according to the weight that they are now, okay? And feed them 2 to 3%, maybe 4%, maybe even 5% of their current body weight, so that we don't have fat puppies, number one. Okay, we don't want roly-poly puppies. But on these larger breeds, we want to make sure that their growth rate is slower so that we're not taxing their joints. Now, that's a little bit more of a job than just, you know, giving them 2%. That means that you gotta weigh them. Okay, so let's weigh them. You gotta weigh them, and puppies are growing all the time, so it's going to fluctuate. But we really do believe that on these larger breeds, and maybe even for, you know, many of the breeds, that the safer thing to do is to weigh your dog, not guess what your dog is going to weigh at its most mature age. Weigh your dog and feed them 2 to 3% of their current body weight. Now, if poops are good, we don't have runny poops, and if ribs are not showing, but we can feel them, then you're at a good percentage of food for your puppy. Again, we don't want roly-poly puppies, okay? But we don't want skinny minis either. We don't want skinny minis. So feeding raw does require a lot of attention and a lot of awareness to get. That's why so many people prefer kibble. Why? Because they're just too damn busy. And they're going to reach in the bag, pour it out, leave it out all day, and the dog just gorges himself. And then we've got, you know, fat dogs. Fat dogs. We don't want fat dogs. We certainly don't want fat puppies. So I hope clears that up, makes sense to you. The safer thing to do is just go ahead and weigh your dog on a weekly basis, up the food as needed. If we have roly-poly puppies, we're going to cut back on the ounces. If we have too skinny of dogs, we are going to bump it up. It is not an exact science. There is no dog that metabolizes food exactly like the other dog. We have very, you know, active breeds. We have very high energy breeds. And then we have the breeds like Miss Asta, our sweet German, who's just beautiful and is just this content to sit around and bat her eyes, which she does quite frequently. So anyway, that is what I wanted to tell you today about feeding puppies. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact myself or Rick at orders@rawdogfood.com. There's Dee Dee at rawdogfood.com, rawdogfoodandcompany.com. There's Rick at you know, you can find us. We're everywhere. We are everywhere. Also, I want to tell you another thing that was happening this week. So we had a new customer with about a year and a half old pit bull that came on and started feeding raw a couple of months ago. And I will have to say that his girlfriend was not a big fan of feeding raw, okay? Because, again, we've talked about this a lot, that many times when somebody hears the word raw, they associate it with bacteria and salmonella, okay? So anyway, last week I got a call from the customer, and he was saying his dog was throwing up and sick. Well, here's the thing. If a bunch of dogs are throwing up and getting sick from the thousands of customers that we have, then we know that maybe there's an issue in the food. But typically, that is not the case. And there's a lot of questions that we ask, and there's a certain way that dogs present that we can tell that it's not the food. However, they were concerned it was the food because they were on raw and this dog was sick. I said, what have you been feeding them? And finally got him to tell me that, you know, that they were a little bit confused about bones and that they fed cooked bones instead of raw bones. I'm thinking, you know, there's an obstruction. And whether or not there is, if a dog is throwing up and he's lethargic and he's not eating, we do need to go to the vet and see what's going on. They take him to the vet. And the vet says, no, this is not any type of salmonella, anything like that. What we're finding is there's an obstruction. And so they sent him to another vet, which, again, he was misdiagnosed. And this year and a half old dog actually had parvo. Now, parvo, you can get over parvo with IV fluids and a lot of other things. We're going to be bringing our daughter, who's a vet, onto the show in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking about that. But my whole point of that is this, and I talked to our daughter who's a vet about it, that if you have tunnel vision and you just think, okay, automatically raw and bacteria and salmonella, you're going to miss what the real issue is. And so I want to encourage you to always keep an open mind. We will, if there's anything wrong with the food, we would let you know, as with any other raw dog food manufacturer. But don't automatically assume if your dog is sick that it is the food. It could be many, many different things, okay? All right, now, I see Ms. Carmen Goudreau has joined the show, and so let's get her on real quick. Hey, Carmen, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Dee Dee. Kind of a crazy day here.
Yeah, that's what I said. A dog that ran down the street and, you know, you had to run after it. But anyway.
No. Not that. No.
Okay,
one of the dogs
good.
Jumped up on the counter and pulled my cell phone into the water bowl. So I had to undo the case, dry out the phone, and finally call you.
Wow. It's a fun day right there in Carmen Land.
It happens that fast.
I know it does. It happens in a snap. All right. So, Carmen, right, we're going to get right to it with you. Why do big breeds need to break all the rules when it comes to feeding? And you haven't heard me jibber-jabbering, and I've talked about, you know, the 2 to 3%, and then it's probably just best to weigh them and go from there instead of trying to guess their adult breeds. Let's hear from you. You've been raising Bouviers your entire life. These are large breed dogs. Tell the large breed folks how they should feed their puppies, according to Carmen.
Well, the most important thing is you have to feed it towards the individual puppy's bowel tolerance, okay? Even within a litter, you know, a litter of eight, and you can have one that you're feeding, you know, 5% to, and his bowels are good, and the others have to only take 3% in order to keep the bowels good. But you don't want to, if you overfeed, you're going to get loose stools. It's just the bulk of the food is pushing it right through the digestive system that fast, even though raw diets are very, very highly digestible. Just weight and bulk will push it through too fast, and the water won't be absorbed, the moisture won't be absorbed out of the colon from the food. That's the colon's purpose, is to absorb the extra moisture out of the digestive system, and that's how you get nice, firm, hard poops. So if you feed any puppy too much, it's going to get soft, loose, sloppy stools. So you have to treat right. each dog individually, each breed individually. But your starting point is 3%. If they're gaining weight properly and they're not ribby thin, you're doing fine. If they are a high metabolism breed, you're going to have to go to a higher percentage to keep them, you know, gaining weight and growing properly. And that's where you have to keep feeling their ribs, making sure that they're putting the weight on properly. You want to feel down their spine and where their hip bones are. And if those are prominent, I mean very prominent, then you want to increase, you know, 1%. Don't go doubling it because, again, this is an immature digestive tract, and you're going to, if you increase it too much too fast, you are going to get loose, sloppy stools. And there's no benefit out of that for the puppy because he's not absorbing everything in his digestive system properly because you're shoving it through bulk-wise too fast, okay? So you want to make sure whenever you increase, you watch the stools, make sure they're nice and firm and hard, and then try another increase to make sure you're getting the right weight growth, muscling over the ribs and down the spine and hips, and the puppy's happy. Don't overfeed, okay? Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Now, one of the things that you and I talked about, puppies do need bone. Puppies do need bone. What's
yes.
your favorite bone for puppies, Carmen?
Well, that depends on size. Of course, with Bouviers, I use the great big huge knuckle bones of either beef or bison. And, I mean, that's like a pacifier for a baby. I mean, it just... They gnaw and chew and gnaw and chew until they literally fall asleep, you know, just drop over from chewing and gnawing so much. But a nice, raw, thawed, big, huge knuckle bone is what the big breeds like. Of course, your smaller breeds, and now this is really interesting, like your terriers, since they're, you know, earth dogs and they like to get into things and really, you know, go at it, giving them a femur bone that's sawed in half so they can dig out the marrow, oh, that's a dream for them. I mean, they just, again, they sit there and work and work and work at getting the marrow out of the big leg bones of cow or bison or elk. If you can get elk bones, those are kind of at a premium, though. But depending on your breed and what really sets them off and gets them interested. And you'll see. Now, you're really toy breeds. The only thing you can really use on them are like rib bones, you know, a beef rib bone that they can really get their teeth around. Or, and again, this really is hard to find, lamb or goat knuckle bones for your little toy breeds. Those work well. Or deer, those work well. Antelope bones work great on your small toy dogs and small terriers and things. But really understand
okay,
the breed, what sets them off.
Let me just say to our listeners who are listening live today that Carmen has just joined us, and the show is going to stop streaming in about 90 seconds. However, Carmen and I are going to continue this conversation, and when this comes back up on the replay, you will be able to hear the entire conversation. So don't freak out when it goes off, but do remember to look us up at rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where you can get all the information. You can see all of the different blends that we have and see some of our videos, and also our new delivery routes, because at Raw Dog Food and Company, your pet's health is our business. Carmen and I are going to continue this conversation, and so listen to the replay. All right, Ms. Carmen, so here's a question for you that a lot of people want to know about dogs breaking their teeth on the knuckle bones, and they're concerned puppies, you know, breaking their teeth when they chew on the knuckle bones. What say you about that?
Well, first of all, I've never experienced that with any, I mean, even my Scotties, when I had Scotties, I never experienced them breaking their teeth. And I've never had even a Bouvier puppy break their teeth on the knuckle bones or the femur bones. The important part, Dee Dee, is to start young, when their jaw is not, their jaw muscles are not developed and strong enough to break their teeth, their puppy teeth, all right? The jaw and the jaw muscle do not mature physically on any breed until they're 6 months old. So if you start giving puppies, you know, I'm talking once they're weaned from mama, and you start giving them bones right away, and they will learn to chew properly without too much aggressive physical force that would break their teeth. If you're with an adult dog and you're trying to introduce bones to an adult dog with an adult, you know, structure and muscling, that's a whole different story, and you have to introduce bones such close supervision. I mean, like, I start out with chicken bones, and I actually hold the drumstick. I hold it until I know this dog is going to chew and chew properly. In other words, he doesn't just take the drumstick and go gulp and swallow the whole thing whole. I want to see them gnawing on the chicken drumstick methodically and working at it nicely. If they are too aggressive with it, I take it up and put it away. All right? I reintroduce it, you know, 10, 15 minutes when the dog's settled down, and I hold on to that bone with all my might so that that dog just can't rip it out of my hands and do, you know, do whatever he's going to do, especially aggressively chewing. So introducing an adult dog to bones is a lot harder than just starting from when they're puppies and you don't have to worry about them breaking teeth. But with adult dogs, you do, and you have to really introduce things so methodically and watch them really chew properly. All right? And the more bones you give them, you'll see the easier they become in chewing their bones and the more methodical and gentle they become. It's still the most wonderful thing they've ever had on earth. It will be a dream for them. Dogs is totally different than introducing bones to. So it's easier. Start when they're puppies.
Now, I've also read that the puppy's diet should be half to two-thirds meaty bones and half to one-third meats and offal, so that you can balance out the calcium and phosphorus.
Right.
And I think that for a lot of people, that's quite confusing.
Why is that confusing?
I just think that people have a hard time figuring that out.
Well, Dee Dee, the most important thing is to every week, at least on the same day every week, feel how your puppy is growing. You know, like I said, check your ribs. At the roundest part of the rib, your fingers should just feel the top of the rib. Your fingers should not fall in between the ribs, because then their puppy's not getting enough of any of their diet, whether it's the raw meaty bones or your meat or your offal. Feel down their spine, you know, and their hip bones. If that's all prominent, you need to up everything. But the ratios are good. And I promise you, if you're feeding raw meaty bones, unless you have a pound of meat on your bones, which most bones, chew bones, don't come that way. Some of them come with just a light covering of some trim meat, all right, unless you're producing the bones yourself, you know, getting a carcass and actually cutting the bones yourself. But the bones that you can get commercially through butcher shops or the processing plants, they don't give you a lot of meat on the bones, but there's plenty of cartilage, you know, which has your cartilage in it. You know, and that's excellent for joints and growing. And then, of course, the bone is there for them to gnaw and chew and get. And the marrow, great blood builder. The marrow on your big bones are great blood builders. Okay? So it's very important to just keep feeling your dog or your puppy, watching. You don't need to have a scale. It's actually easier if you learn how to feel your puppy growing, feel those ribs, feel the spine and hip bone, and feed accordingly. Feed towards bowel tolerance so that you're not overfeeding, that their stools are nice and hard and firm, and that they're growing properly. I promise, if you're overfeeding, those three factors, the ribs, the spine and hips, and their bowels will not look good. Their bowel movements will be not correct. So you put all those factors together and you feed your meat and your offal. I don't weigh my bones. I never weigh my bones as far as being a significant part of the weight that weigh. I always just give them a new bone once they've lost interest in the old bones. I do weigh the meat and offal of every meal. So the raw meaty bones, and like I said, unless you do process those bones yourself and leave a ton of meat on them, I don't weigh the bones. But not too many people have access to cutting up their own carcass bones. So most people get their bones, you know, either through a butcher or through a processing plant, and they don't give you a lot of meat on those bones, but they give you what's important to the dog, and that's chewing. So I don't include that weight at that bone.
Or they can get those at rawdogfoodandcompany.com.
Right. Yeah.
We have lots of bones. We have beef shank bones, knuckle bones, split bones.
Dee Dee.
Yep. What?
I need to back up. If you're feeding whole chicken, like chicken necks and turkey necks,
yep,
I do weigh those. All right? And those come out to the same weight that I'm weighing my meat, my beef and my offal if I'm feeding red meats. But turkey necks and chicken necks, I do weigh those to the exact same weight of the meat that I'm feeding at the time. But beef bones, no.
Yeah, you know what, Carmen? I think that you've been doing this a long time, right? And you're very diligent,
right,
and you're very deliberate about watching your dogs. But here's something that we've heard from some of our customers in just the recent months, that their dogs are getting fat on raw. And I said, well, what in the world are you doing? And you know what I found out was that they're not weighing their food, and so they are overfeeding them. And it's very easy to eyeball it and miscalculate and overfeed your dog. So if your dog is getting fat, you know, if you Mr. and Miss Human have to cut them back. But they shouldn't be fat on a raw diet unless
– no.
I mean, I don't know. Could they have a thyroid problem? But I'm just thinking, you know, are there too many treats? What are you doing? Because that is one of the things that you seldom see on a raw diet is an overweight dog.
That's one of the benefits, Dee Dee, of feeding raw, is it's so easy to control their weight and keep it right where it needs to be. You don't need to be running to the vet for a scale. You need to be feeling the ribs, the spine, and the hips, all right? If you are feeling those on a regular basis, yes, you have to start out, like this with puppies, you have to start out with a starting weight, but you can because they're growing so fast, they grow 27 times the human growth rate the first year of life, puppies do, all right? 27 times more than a human baby grows the first year of life. So you have to have a starting point. Once you have that weight to start, then you use your other methods, your ribs, your spine, hips, and your bowels to make sure the puppy is getting enough and growing properly. Okay? And yeah, every couple months I'll take a puppy in and to get an accurate weight on, especially if the other checkpoints are good, but I'm not happy with, you know, how they're putting weight on, they're not putting enough weight on, or they put too much, then I cut back. But I will go get another starting weight if I'm not guessing properly with my other guidelines.
Well, I think that some people just are so used to seeing their dogs like a little roly-poly Rotundra that they don't know what a fit and trim dog is really supposed to look like. I mean, I'm amazed that people don't see how fat their dogs are. I think that there's this idea, well, my dog acts like he's starving all the time. I hear that a lot. My dog acts like he's starving all the time. Well, you know, they're just going to eat. There's not a lot of dogs that are going to pull back from the bowl, right? Especially labs or those type of dogs. But you've got to be on your toes, peeps. You need to be certain of what a fit dog or your breed, what a fit breed looks like, and get your dog in that type of shape. Help them get in that type of shape by feeding them correctly. Correctly. Hey, Carmen, I want to ask you about one other thing before we go, because I've had this come up a couple of times recently, and this is picky eaters again. And, you know, what I love about this whole thing about starting puppies out on raw is that you don't have to worry about them being a picky eater. But I do have one right now in our client group who is a high energy breed dog, a Viva, who they're, and I'm not in the home. You know, that's one thing. I'd like to have a place where I could take the dogs and feed them myself for a while and see what's going on. But this dog's just kind of giving these folks a little heartburn, being such a picky eater. What do you think about picky eaters on the raw diet? Are there some dogs that just prefer kibble over raw?
Dee Dee, personally, I've never seen that. I've never seen it in any of my dogs. And I can tell you, for all the dogs that stay at my dog daycare, most of them, when they smell my dog's food in the dog bowls, they all come over with their nostrils flaring because they'd rather have the raw diet. I've never had a dog that prefers kibble over raw, especially since you can rotate your proteins so easily with a raw diet. You know, you can go from fish to chicken to turkey to beef to whatever, you know. And so it's your responsibility as the owner of the dog to find which protein that they really get excited about. But I can tell you one thing, Dee Dee, I haven't found a dog yet, whether puppy, whether elderly, senior dogs, that will not say no. They will not say no to tripe. Green tripe. Raw green tripe. And it's actually known, and you can ask veterinarians, when they have a debilitated dog or a puppy that's failing to thrive, if you give them tripe, that piques them. Dogs eat by their sense of smell. So the stinkier something is, the better they like it. And that's where tripe fits in.
Yep. You're right, and that's exactly what we suggest for these picky dogs. But I'm telling you that some of the owners are saying, nope, turned his nose up. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? So we got to get down to the bottom of that, whether I need to, you know, bring him into the old Mercer Moffat house here and see what's going on. You know, but, yeah, because I'm with you, and we've reached out to many of our, you know, veteran feeders, and they're like, I've not seen that. But I'm not saying that their parents are lying. I'm saying that there has to be something going on, and I just don't know what it is, and I want to help them find out, because kibble is not the answer, and I don't want people to give up and go back to kibble. So I think it's a great tip on your part, and a great suggestion is to, you've got to switch those proteins, even though it may be a little more work. You've got to figure out, is it rabbit that they like? Is it duck that they like? Lamb, beef, chicken, turkey, what is it? You know, what floats your boat? Because, come on, Carmen, the what floats my boat does not float yours, I am sure.
No.
Do you like liver? Do you eat liver, Carmen?
I do.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It's like licking a pan. It's like licking an iron pan, you know. And then my brother and I, and we're only 16 months apart. He said, I love red beets, right? I love red beets. He said, oh my gosh, I'd rather stick a needle in my eye than eat a beet. And so, you know, it's just, that doesn't float his boat. So
Dee Dee, dogs have palates just like people do. They each have their own likes and dislikes.
That is so true. That is so true. Well, Carmen, I'm so glad that you got your phone dried out and that you joined me today. And I hope that the rest of your day is incident-free. And I'll look forward to seeing you very soon and having you on the next show. All right, Carmen? Because you know what we say here at Raw Dog Food and Company. What do we say here at Raw Dog Food and Company, Carm?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
You got that right. See you guys soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
For more information, go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com.